Do you hear about the guy that had to go to the dentist? What time was the best time for him to go to the dentist? 2:30? 2:30?
All right.
Okay, we've been talking about the good, the bad, and the ugly. And let me just get the screen up here. And today's the last instalment. Thank goodness. No, I've really enjoyed it. Have you guys enjoyed it? I've absolutely loved it. So I didn't mean thank goodness in a sense that I'm sick of it, but we're going on to a new series, and what's that one called?
Inside Out,
which is going to be fantastic. So I've been asked to tidy up the, and I'm not sure if I'm going to be tidying it up, but I'm going to try and bring everything to a head today. I'm not going to waffle on for too long, which is probably some of you going, you know, thank goodness, but... So what we've been trying to do through this series is to try and point out that some of these guys and girls in the Old Testament, that their stories weren't perfect. And it's strange, isn't it? Because they get their story in the Bible, and we think that because their story's in the Bible, well, it's got to be, you know, this great story. And often there are parts of it that are great, but as we've been learning and discovering, there are parts of their stories that are, you know... leave a lot to be desired. I remember when Grant did Jacob. It was fantastic how we unpacked that. And there was just so much that that Grant talked about that I didn't really, that I'd either forgotten or had looked over, which isn't great in a sense because, you know, I should be into the Bible and reading it and getting to know these stories more and more. And if you don't look at it for a while, sometimes you forget some of these things that happened. So it was a great refresher. And Grant, when he talked about Jacob having this blessing from God, and not just a blessing from God, but being included, and Jesus talked about him in, as far as eternity, going to the place where Abraham, Jacob and Isaac was. And then we learn about Jacob's life, and he's a deceiver and a cheat and almost a crook through his whole life, which is just, it just doesn't make sense. I remember, do you remember Jason Ackermanis? Sorry to do the sport thing, I'm not going to do it for too long. Does anyone know that name, Jason Ackermanis? Okay, through the late 90s and 2000s, he was in the paper often. Do you remember Acker? He was in the paper often because he used to razz up his coach a lot, Lee Matthews. And Acker had a spot on radio, and he also had a spot on the paper. He had someone to help him write. And he was kind of... Sorry. And he was kind of always in the wrong because he'd come out with these shock comments, as it would seem, and then his coach would get on the front foot and sort of push back against that. So you'd see Acker and his coach Lee Matthews sort of, and they're both in the same team, and Acker was like a premiership player and did really well for the Lions or the Bears or whatever they were back then. And it wasn't until... the reason I bring it up is because it wasn't until... he was, but he moved to Collingwood, then to Brisbane. So then Acker finishes footy and he writes a book. And this biography, and it's just fantastic because it gives a little bit of context to the byplay that you'd been seeing in the paper. So you'd see Lee Matthews... you know, give him a hard time or say, I want him out of the club and try and trade him. And then you see Acker talking about his life and how he came to make those decisions. And it was just great because wasn't to say that Acker was a great guy or did everything right, but instead of looking at the, you know, the showreel or the highlights, what you got to see was Acker's side. And I think that there's a lot of that in the Bible, particularly the Old Testament, that the Bible's not like that. What I mean is that sometimes we're trained to look for the highlight reels in these people's stories. Like, and I'm going to say, I blame Sunday school. Not that there's anything wrong with Sunday school, but in your Sunday school Bibles, you'll often see things like, you know, David and Goliath. And that's the story of David. Or you might see Moses and the flood, and that's the story of Moses. Can you think of any other stories that you might have learned at Sunday school, and you've just got a little snapshot? Daniel and the Lion's Den's a great one. Jonah and the Whale. I mean, Michelle taught us about Jonah, and there's so much more to meet the eye than just Jonah and the Whale. Isn't there any others? Can anyone think of any others? From Sunday school, if you went to Sunday school. Who?
I rejected the story as a kid.
Okay. Any others?
Adam and Eve.
Adam and Eve. Yeah, Adam and Eve.
Well, there's another one. I remember asking you about a crossword, the third son of Adam and Eve. Now, we were always taught that only two kids.
What was that?
Seth.
Oh, okay, yeah, of course. Very good. Yeah. So anyway, I think that Sunday, sometimes we don't see the full picture because of the snippets that we've been told. So I think it's really important that as we've been going through this series, that as different people have spoken and they've really given us a great expose of someone's life, that it's sometimes David and Goliath, like that story of David and Goliath, which is fantastic, but it's more. There's more than just a verse, there's more than just a chapter, you know, there's a story and there's someone's life, and when we look at that whole life in its entirety, we get to see what was happening in their life and how, what they were doing with their relationship with God, if you like, and how God was communicating with them and how they journeyed together. Do you get what I'm saying? Whereas just if you just get a little snippet, you're not going to get the bigger picture. And in David's case, I mean, it's fantastic because you not only see all of David's life, but you get to see all the forgetful moments as well. You know, all the moments that you'd cringe. You know, I've got moments in my life that I'd cringe if they were, you know, up in a wall for people to read or in a book for people to read. But with David's life, it's all there. And the great thing about what we've been going through is that just because some of the stories are quite bad, God doesn't sort of say, that's it, you've done it, you've blown it, you're now outside the picture, we don't see anything in the sort. In fact, we see God still including David and including those who are struggling. Incidentally, like with the David and Goliath story, it's such a massive story, and people would say what a great, you know, leap of faith. And I think I talked about this a little bit when I did David, that I don't think it was so big. I mean, it would have been massive for me and I wouldn't have known what I was doing, but David was always looking after the sheep. He was always protecting the sheep from, you know, lions and bears and wolves. Well, at least lions and bears. And the Bible says that in plural. It wasn't just once or twice, that it happened a number of times. And his place was always out protecting the sheep. In fact, when the prophet came to visit, his brothers even forgotten about him. And, you know, that's right, we've got another brother out in the paddock. And they'd go and summon David. So when David comes to kill Goliath, he states his case before Saul. Hey, I've done this sort of thing before. This isn't such a big deal. I've done this. I've killed lions and bears and wolves. So, I mean, it was a massive big deal, but, I mean, I think David knew he probably could do it. He already had that relationship with God. He already had that trust in God that would have been developed from when he was protecting the sheep, you know, when he was, you know, a young tacker. So we've got some great examples today of people that we have risen to incredible heights and also
pile.
Well, yeah, there you go. Well, what about Trump? Is a great one.
And,
I know I'm not going to get into the whole Trump thing, but Trump's a great one. I mean, when when the guy was on the Millionaire Show, I mean, he was it. You know, he was up the top of the ratings charts with the Millionaire Show. What was it called? Who wants to be a millionaire? No? The Apprentice. There you go, The Apprentice. And then you've got, here we go. Then we've got Bill Clinton. Now,
Bill Clinton, I've just been recently watching the show on CNN about Bill Clinton.
Yeah.
And he actually did some great things for the world in his day.
But what do we remember? Minor discretion. And Trump, we don't think of Trump now. We don't think of the Apprentice. We think of
an idiot.
We'll just block that out on the recorder. But we do. I mean, particularly the. Remember that tape came out when he came out of the bus, and he was. That's right. Okay. So he was, you know, he was a big abuser of his power, wasn't he? Trump and Clinton, they both abused their power in a way to get their own way with women. Sorry? With the ladies, yeah. Now who does that sound like? Just about anyone. It sounds like King David, in fact, but when you look at King David's life, mate, Clinton and Trump have got nothing on King David. King David did some really terrible things. I think at least three. So, like, Clinton and Trump have got nothing on King David, and yet we read King David is still included in the... He's included in the story, and he's loved by, you know, people of faith worldwide. Yet, and he's a man after God's own heart. Yet, he's got all this really ugly stuff going on. You've heard the expression, you don't judge a book by its cover? Who hasn't heard that? No, everyone's heard it. Have you ever judged a book by its cover? Yeah. Have you ever been judged?
Yeah,
all right, let's talk about it for a moment in smaller groups. I'm going to put this picture up. This picture up here is an example. It's a famous picture by a guy called Steve McCurry. And he arrives in India and he's got like two shots left in his camera, and he quickly fires them off because he can see that there's an incredible story there, even though he has no idea what this lady's story is and what this child's story is. And we can, in our mind, we can think we know what's going on here, but we'd be really guessing. We don't know what's going on there.
Looks like it's raining and they're getting wet, they want to come in.
Hell, that's definitely, it's raining, yeah. 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 We see this quite often. You're gonna see this, Kelly, when we go to India. They tap on the window and they do this. So let's chat a couple of minutes about judging a book by its cover.
Hi, all.
Hi, hello.
Well, I'm going to talk about the rule of 50. Now, you see, or should always give a book at least 50 pages before you decide you don't like it. And, but for every year over 50 you achieve in life, you're allowed to delete one page before you tell them. You're allowed to tell if a book's no good at all. And the theory is, for every year, by the time you reach 100, you're allowed to judge a book by its cover.
That's really good. Did you hear about the girl that invented lifesavers? Did you know she made a mint? That's pretty bad, isn't it? Okay. So how does God view us when we go through these times of right, wrong, or good, bad, and ugly? What's happening there? Is everyone familiar with Instagram? I'm getting somewhere with this. Instagram. Does everyone know how to use Instagram? Okay, so with Instagram, it works like this. I don't use Instagram. I mean, I've got it, but I'm not a picture of it. I do know how it works. So I'll just try and explain it for Ian. Anyone else not understand Instagram? We're all, you know. Okay, so you take a picture, and that's your original picture. And when you apply these filters to the picture, like this warm filter, you'll notice that the colours look a little bit warmer. And the cooler filter, the Kelvin's reduced and the colours are a little bluer, if you like. They are bluer in black and white. And what these do is they give you a different mood as to what the picture's saying. So you can apply filters to a picture and the mood is changing. You with me? Everyone with me? All right, there's a newish program called Snapchat. Do people understand Snapchat?
But the black hole of all of your time. It just sucks.
Now, I wanted to do this with Mick, but Mick came late and I didn't get time, so I had to unfortunately use my own pictures for this. So this is Snapchat, and this what it does is it changes the perspective of the picture taken. So you know, here he's got makeup on and ears, and there's the and then this one there.
See my Jesus
beard
photo on Instagram. If you follow
me
on Instagram,
Snapchat's great, and this is something that I did today. And that's pretty much it. I wanted to do it with Mick because I think Mick's got just a really photogenic sort of face. I would have loved to. So I'll go back to here. So in life, as we're going about life, there are filters flying around all over the place. Now, what I mean is that, for example, when you did something wrong at home, your parents, there was a filter there. What did that look like? Was it a happy face? Was it an angry face? Was it, I better not tell my parents this or I'm in big trouble? Or at work sometimes, if you've done the right thing or the wrong thing, what sort of filter are you seeing there from your boss? Or from your work colleague when you have a little bit of a dust-up, what filter is coming up there? At school, if you do an assignment that's fantastic, surely the teacher will give you a happy filter. But if you're struggling... Pardon?
An elephant stamp.
Elephants?
Elephant stamp.
Oh, an elephant stamp, yeah. But if you're late with an assignment and they've got to mark it when they're on holidays, the filter might look a little bit different. What about... Driving here to church. I mean, how many filters depending on how you drive, how many filters did you get on the way to church? Did you get some happy filters or some angry filters? Did you give people happy filters or angry filters? Happy.
I'm happy.
So the good news is that through the journey of our life, God applies to us just this fantastic, awesome filter for us that when we blow it, when we make the mistakes, like King David, like Jacob, you know, we've called out to him and we're struggling to find our way through, to find this path, to walk on this path. But when we blow it, God's filter to us just looks absolutely incredible. It's not you're out of the picture, you're forgotten, you're not included anymore. At this time you've blown it and you're out. You know what I mean? And I think that as I was growing up in the church, I thought that was going on. That you'd all of a sudden you get to a stage if you made too many of the same mistakes that was it. You know, you've blown your chance. I reckon that's just fantastic news that we're in. Do you know what I mean? That we're not excluded from this great next life that's coming. That God's party that's coming eventually one day, that we're included in that. We're not. We can make a series of mistakes, but that doesn't mean that we're out of the picture. And I think that if we look at these filters from people around us, people that are close to us, each other at times, people on the road, our work colleagues, our parents, we're not going to get the idea of what God's really like when we look through those filters. You get what I mean? When we read the Bible and we see like instances like Jacob and David and these other guys that continually seem to do wrong things a lot, and then we see that they're still included in the God story, that they still have a happy ending, if you like, in a sense that they're, you know, the next life and the, you know, the paradise, if you like, not to be confused with, you know, the other paradise that's going on these days. If we have that filter on and we're looking through those eyes that our parents or people that have given us a hard time or judgment filters, we're going to miss what God's doing and or miss what he's actually saying. And that means that we really have to read past these little, you know, David and Goliath or Jacob and the ladder, you know, Moses and the burning bush. There is a whole lot more to their lives through their good things, through their bad things, and through their really ugly things, and they're still included in the picture. So it's good news that we're included in the picture. When Jesus came, he included everyone. He told all these stories about including people that were lost and forgotten and in the alleyways and street people and all that sort of stuff. And he said, you know, go and call those people and bring them in. This, of course, was a problem for those people that were on the inside. Now, because this is such good news, and because this is so awesome, it's kind of like it's like a lottery ticket, really, that keeps on giving in a, you know, selfish way to us. But there is a flip side to that coin, unfortunately. Well, depending on how you look at it, there's a flip side to this coin. And the flip side is that we've got to show these filters to other people as best as we can. We don't always get it right, but Jesus talked about it in terms of, I've got it up here. In prayer, there is a connection between what God does and what you do. You can't get forgiveness for God, for instance, without also forgiving others. If you refuse to do your part, you cut yourself off from God's part. So it's almost like that, you know, this unreal God filter that he shows to us, that we're his people and we're always included, even when we do the wrong thing. That it's almost like that's the only little bit of fine print in this, that we've also got to show this to other people. I know it's not always easy. That's the whole point. It's not easy. And I think that it's very hard for myself to do that because, you know, I get it wrong often. Jesus talks about, you know, turning the other cheek and being kind to those, but sometimes I don't always feel like being kind to other people. Like I want to stand up for, you know, the Telstra worker that's giving me a hard time over the phone, or the person that's rung me up trying to sell me something over the phone. I want to give them a hard time. Why do I want to do that? What is that? Well, maybe they do, but this is. Well, that's it, and they do deserve what's coming to them. But you know, we don't get what we deserve, and this is the weird thing about this whole thing, that King David and Jacob and all these cronies in the Old Testament, they didn't get what they deserved. They got a good deal. They got a good deal, and we've got a great deal. But we've got to show it to the others. And I'm going to finish with this. Little. Can you read this back? Is that alright?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Is that alright?
A story about forgiveness. At that point, Peter got up and then to us, "Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or sister who hurts me? Seven?" Jesus replied, "Seven? Hardly. Try 70 times seven. The kingdom of God is like a king who decided to square accounts with his servants. As he got underway, one servant was brought before him who had run up a debt of $100,000. He couldn't pay up, so the king ordered the man, along with his wife and children and goods, to be auctioned off the slave market. The poor wretch threw himself at the king's feet and begged, 'Give me a chance, I'll pay it all back.' Touched by his plea, the king let him off, erasing the debt. The servant was no sooner out of the room when he came upon one of his fellow servants who owed him $10. He he seized him by the throat and demanded, "Pay up now!" The poor wretch threw himself down and begged, "Give me a chance and I'll pay it all back." But he wouldn't do it. He had him arrested and put in jail until the debt was paid. When the other servants saw this going on, they were outraged and brought a detailed report to the king. The king summoned the man and said, "You evil servant, I forgave your entire debt when you begged me for mercy. Shouldn't you be compelled to be merciful to your fellow servant who asked for mercy?" The king was furious and put the screws to the man until he paid back his entire debt. And that's exactly what my Father in heaven is going to do to each one of you who doesn't forgive unconditionally anyone who asks for mercy.
So that's a pretty harsh story, isn't it? I mean, it is. But it's harsh in a sense, but it's also not in another, because we can't on one hand expect God to forgive us when we make mistakes, and then we're not giving other people a wide berth either. Do you see how that doesn't really, if it's just about us, I mean, when we call out to God for the first time, we should, you know, just shoot up to heaven, that's it, because we'd be no good here, because we're walking along all good and forgiven, but other people that do us harm, we're, you know. So that's about it, and I want to finish here that this series has been absolutely awesome, and I just hope that you've got through looking at all these characters that there's more to the story than meets the eye, that sometimes we've got to read more than a verse, more than a chapter, and read the whole story to see how these people were connecting with God and how God was connecting with these people. And it wasn't just through isolated events. God was in it for the long haul. And he's like that with us. That through moments of failure and through moments of trial, that God doesn't give up. He doesn't pull the handbrake up and say, "Get out of the car." This is a lifelong journey. This is a lifelong path that we're on. And I want to encourage you that as you go through the week and through the year and from this time on, that you try and put on those nice filters for people that you come across when they don't deserve it. So terribly hard. I know. Trust me. You see me at home how I treat people that ring me up trying to do surveys. I had one ring me recently, and he said, I was in the middle of something, like, you know, always. They don't say, "Oh, have you got a moment?"